I know that when the light of the world came into my life, dramatic changes took place. But they took place at different intervals. How many know what I'm talking about? Little pieces. Things that God would do when I would least expect it. And learning how to, let's say, run with Him in those changes was not always understood. I remember bowing my knee and saying a prayer, and the following week thinking I had failed it. So much for the thinking. Changing us is what He's all about. Healing us and transforming us is really His workmanship from within. The King. The little pin that the Lord pressed me to put on was favor with the King. Do I understand what favor with the King really is when we recognize that in this communion service, we look at the light of the world, the miracle of the oil that kept running through this marvelous lamp, giving us an example that God wouldn't give up on us, and by His Spirit we could do a marvelous work, not fearing failure. Not fearing what He had already started, that He was more than able to complete. But in my situation, sometimes I fall short because I look at the circumstances and I fail. And when I look at my circumstances, don't like what I see sometimes. Anybody relate? But I also know that when He was born in that stable, He was showing us a picture that He wasn't afraid to walk and be laid out right in the midst of the animal kingdom. Today, He's coming alive in us, being born afresh in new areas. You say, well, you're already born again. Yeah, I'm born again, but there are corners that are still of the old. Anybody relate? Corners that are still of the old nature and the beastly nature. That stubborn little donkey in me sometimes is more visible than I care to talk about, especially when I'm driving. And I shared that with you, but, you know, it's not done yet. And I found it coming up again today, you know, and He was breathing on the Lord in me. You say, what are you talking about? That stubborn nature still shows up when I find somebody doing something silly in front of me, coming close to causing an accident because of fear tactics that are operating in them. And that's what the Lord keeps showing me, that people who are driving on the road sometimes are driven more by fear than they are driving the car. Meaning that their cautious level is so high that they could cause others to have accidents because the fear is controlling their driving. But the Lord was reminding me of what I was like behind the wheel the very first time that I started to drive, and how shaky I was, and how cautious I was. So He says, did you judge yourself, son? And I said, no, Lord. It was normal. Well, he says, well, what's normal for them is probably no longer normal for you. But that doesn't mean that you can't pray for them like others prayed for you. That took all the breath out of the donkey. Amen? I love it when he loses his breath. And the breath of life comes. And I start focusing on my job. Even on the road. My job. Intercede for one another that you may be healed. Intercede for those that are despitefully having a hard time. And maybe using you in a hard space. Don't even know it. Or don't recognize it or perceive it. How many know the expression, a bull in a china shop? How many know that there were two animals in that barn? Yes? Do you think God was trying to show us a picture that this little tiny babe laying in that manger would overcome the bullish nature in man? Now, come on, ladies. I'm not picking on just the guys. That bullish nature is very real. And the horns are very real. When you feel one of those horns going into you because of somebody pushing against you, how many know what I'm talking about? You'd like to grab the horns. The only thing is, if you grab the horns, you're going for a ride. Amen? How many know if you grab a bull by the two horns, he's going to get a picture of what he's planning to do with you? Where is his power? In his neck. Did you ever hear of the expression, stiff neck? So who's going to be more stubborn and more proud? See, the animal kingdom can teach us a lesson about the beast that controls me and you. And we can learn from the babe. Just laying there in swaddling clothes, and the kings come and visit. And the shepherds heard the angels singing. And they came. And they visited. But the arrogant, stiff-necked bull that was sitting on the throne of Israel, what happened to him? Did he come to visit? Or was he too proud to lower himself? He had all the right seductive words, but his proud little neck was actually capable of teaching the bull a lesson. How many saw the movie? That movie awakened in many saints a truth of the struggle of both Mary and Joseph. But it also showed the king and his arrogant attitude. How many have seen it? Okay. The nativity. I remember the human part of Mary and Joseph reminding me and reminding you. They had all those fear tactics operating in them that operate in you and in me. Today, in this time with communion, I would ask that the Lord would impart the confidence and the grace that he imparted to that baby, so that he could survive those growing up years. Because what are we doing? We're growing up. Yeah. We're not definitely going up just yet. We're growing up first. So can we bow our heads? Because this communion, I believe, is to break this fruit bread and to ask the Lord to heal us, so that we will grow and mature into the fullness of God's plan. So I lift up this bread and I declare it to be the body of Christ, and the fruits thereof, and the seeds therein will flow into different parts of me, that I would become more mature than I've ever been. I lift the cup of salvation, the cup of the blood of the Lamb that cleanses us from all unrighteousness and declares us not guilty, declares us healed and delivered in the fullness of time. Searching the heart of the Lord this morning again, trying to obey the Lord, I'd like you to come with me to Luke chapter 1. So Father, let my heart, my mind, my soul be obedient to your spirit within me, so that there would be words of life and words of light that would expose the darkness and release grace into every heart. In Luke chapter 1, we would like to maybe take a peek at verse 5. It says, in the days when Herod was king of Judea, there was a certain priest whose name was Zechariah, of the daily service, the division of Abia, and his wife was also a descendant of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they both were righteous in the sight of God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and the requirements of the Lord. But they had no child, for Elizabeth was barren, and both were far advanced in age, or years. Now, while on duty, serving as priests before God in order of his division, I'd like to kind of stop there, because I'd like to make a point. This priest, Zechariah, had been in the temple many times before. It wasn't a one-shot deal. It wasn't his first time. Yet, he was an advanced age, so he had some experience in going in before the temple and to offer up what he was to do. So how many know that if you bake the cake, ladies, and you've baked that same cake at least for 20 years or so, periodically during the year, it doesn't get you all upset if somebody asks you, do you mind making your special chocolate cake? Do you get all upset and bent out of shape? No. Gentlemen, if your wife has a flat tire and she says to you, well, would you mind getting that fixed, because, and you've done it many times, it's not the end of the world for you to go and get that thing fixed, is it? I mean, it may not be pleasant, but you've done it before, and you know what to expect. You might put on a little crabby apple, you know, but you'll do it. Do I get an amen, gents? All right. So Zechariah has been in the temple many times. He's been offering up incense before. He knows what he's doing. He knows what to expect. And he is also a priest. Okay? Verse 6. Again, they both were righteous in the sight of God. So God is saying, I was happy with them, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and requirements of the Lord. But they had no child, for Elizabeth was barren, and both were far advanced in years. Do you think that God knew that they had been really waiting upon the Lord for a child for a long time. Do you think God knew about it?
Yes.
Absolutely. Did he know their hearts? Does he know yours? Now, while on duty serving as priest before God in order of his division, as was the custom, the priesthood, it fell on him by lot. So they drew lots to enter the sanctuary of the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And all the throng of people were praying outside at the hour of incense burning. All the people were connected, weren't they? They were not left out. They were all in harmony with watching Zechariah go in there this year. And by God, they're certainly praying for something, right? And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing at the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled. And the Amplified said, and fear took possession of him.
Paralyzed
with fear. Ouch. Here's a priest, knowing that he's going to offer up the prayers of the saints, because that's what the incense represented. He's representing the whole church of that day, right? He is definitely comfortable in his position. He's done it many times before. Now he's what? Paralyzed by? Let's look at this from God's perspective. Did he wait for this man to mature before he gave him this experience? Well, kind of did in the natural. It says they were well advanced in years, so I would say that he was waiting. God had waited quite a while to, you know, open this man up and let him see in the realm of the Spirit and let him know. So he was aware and had training. At least that's my understanding. Because you can't become a good Jewish boy without going through the bar mitzvah at 13, and he's well advanced in years. So I think God's been graceful, building this man, showing him things, and awakening him. Now, is God aware of the spirit of fear that's going to also be in the temple? Will the spirit of fear operate in this house? Yes, of course. Will the spirit of fear try to operate in this house, meaning me, my flesh? Okay, so you see, we can learn a lesson from Zechariah. We can learn a lesson that sometimes we think we're ready for the next big revelation. Oh, I'm getting older now. I can do this. Watch out for those words. Because God just may shake your tree a little bit. Amen? Okay. Fear took possession of him. But the angel said to him, notice the angel has an awareness of who's around. What does the angel say? The very first word, do not be afraid, Zechariah. Calls him by name, so he's not making a mistake. Amen? Because your petition, your prayer was heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you must call his name John. Meaning, God is favorable. Well, I've been praying for a son. Year after year after year, every time I go in, offer up incense, right? Because if I haven't got one, and I'd like one, that would be my prayer, correct? God decides to send the answer, and what do? Panic. Amen? Isn't that typical humanity? Okay? And he gets what? Possessed by fear when the answer comes. Oh, man. I mean, that is just not my understanding of what should have happened. But it is the truth of the word, correct? So it should give me and you a little grasp on tomorrow. Will I be ready for the revelation of the answer to my prayer? Yeah, I think I will be. Or will I panic and start shaking when God sends an angel and says, okay, you're going to get your answer to prayer today. And you blow it. By bowing to fear. All right. Now, verse 14, and you shall have joy and exalted delight, and many will rejoice over his birth. Additional information. Now, I prayed for a son, normal, said Zechariah. I'm getting, what? I'm going to be exalted and delight, and I will rejoice over his birth. And look at the next detail. For he will be great and distinguished in the sight of the Lord, and he must drink no wine nor strong drink, and he will be filled with and controlled by the Holy Spirit, even in and from his mother's womb. Whoa! Priest of the Most High. You get the good news that your answer to prayer has finally come. You've been waiting all this time. You've now bowed to fear. You're in panic. And your brain has just gone berserk. And the angel's still giving out details. Well, is he not giving out details? Yeah. I mean, I prayed for an average boy. I don't want to be what? The talk of the town. I don't want this kid to be upsetting the whole of Israel, yet he will. He's going to be distinguished, correct? He's going to be what? Distinguished in the sight of the Lord. Verse 14. Awesome, isn't that exciting? And he must drink no wine, so that's not a problem. We'll take care of that. And no strong drink. But the next part is awesome. He will be filled with and controlled by the Holy Spirit, even in and from his mother's womb. Whoa! He must be the Messiah. Wouldn't that be what the priest would think? But here comes more details. And he will turn and cause to return many of the sons of Israel to the Lord their God. So he's going to be one that's going to cause many to change their hearts and change their minds. 17. And he will himself go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn back the hearts and fathers of the children and the disobedient. Wonderful. And the incredulous. Yes. And the unpersuadable. That takes care of Thomas, doesn't it? To the wisdom of the upright, which is the knowledge of the holy love of the will of God, in order to make ready for the Lord a people perfectly, in parentheses, prepared in spirit, adjusted and disposed, and placed in the right moral state. I mean, can you imagine what kind of this boy is going to be? What kind of a man is he going to be? I can imagine the pressure that's now on Zechariah, because he's what? Troubled by fear. Do you think this news is adding insult to injury? Yeah. I mean, what should have been a wonderful, wonderful experience that you're going to have a son, it doesn't stop there. Now it's additional layer upon additional layer upon additional layer upon additional layer. What in the world did I get myself into? I should have shut up. I shouldn't have prayed. Well, I didn't get what I thought I was getting. I got the bargain butt. I got bunches and bunches of extra goodies that I didn't even ask for. I thought he was going to be a normal kid. But what have I got? Okay. Zechariah said to the angel, "By what shall I know and be sure of this? For I am an old man and my wife is well advanced in years." What is he focused on? Mama and me, let's face it, there's no way, angel. You must have had the wrong high priest. There is no way. I mean, have you even considered what I sleep with every night? I mean, come on now. Be normal. I tease my wife periodically because we're getting a new little girl in our family. And I tease her because now when we go even Christmas shopping, she's got to visit the children's area. "Well, come on, Kim, let me go peek." I says, "Yes, but your wallet's going to taste it." So the other day, I happened to go visit our sister down at Kohl's. How many know we have a sister at Kohl's? And this is about a month ago or a little over. And we talked a little bit, and I gave her the news that we were going to have a baby girl. And she says, "Oh," she says, "are you ready to shop?" And I thought, well, you know, I wasn't really thinking about shopping for this baby girl just yet, but what are you talking about? So Julie brings me over to the great big rack that's like four big racks of all baby clothes that have been marked down, and they've been marked down like I think three times. And of course I came home and I was all excited because I spent $14.08, excuse me, because I sent the check out this morning. I spent $14.08 and I got seven outfits. Okay? So my wife reminds me now, because every time she wants to go look at goodies for the baby, she reminds me, who's the first one that bought her seven outfits? And I did spend $14.08. But you understand my expectation that this little girl is going to be, what? Normal. Like the kind of little girl that I want. But what if she's a Deborah? What if she's a great prophet of God that's coming into my grandson's family? What if she's the type that's going to shake the whole of her city and then the nations around her? Is it possible? Yes. Is she to be a high vessel of God's glory? Absolutely, she's possibly going to be that. But you understand, if the angel came over and talked to her mother or her dad right now, they might have the same problem as Zechariah. You see? And I'm not saying that I wouldn't have the same problem. I could like to tell you one of my marvelous, marvelous gifts that God provided. 1988. The same grandson is now 5 years old, and his parents have divorced. And my wife and I are crying out to the Lord. I mean crying out to God, because there's war games in our family. And the Lord has a friend of mine call me from Northampton and says, "Kim, tonight, Halloween night, would you please try to skip up to the Northampton Hotel? I've got a guest speaking at our church and I would like you to hear him." I said, "What time?" And to make a long story short, I ended up going and I met John Paul Jackson. He didn't know me from a hole in the wall, but he prophesied that I would have two more sons. He prophesied to me that I was going to have these two boys at my age. And of course, at that time, I had no expectations of becoming Abraham. And my wife did not have an expectation of becoming a Sarah. But God had a different plan. 5 years later, the two boys were released to us. So for 5 years, we listened to the cassette tape of that prophetic message and held it up before the Lord. 5 years, every day, as often as it came into my mind, of how terrible the situation was for those boys, we would lift them up to Jesus and say, "You said. You said it because you confirmed it." And he did. He confirmed it. He used other vessels at Grace Church of Christ to confirm that, yes, the boys would be delivered to us. You say, "Who and when?" I don't want you to know, because you'd give people the glory. But I know that the prophet of God was sent to Northampton just for me. Because I wept all the way home as I listened to those words. And I couldn't make any sense out of it until finally there was a flash of light in my head. And I heard "separate" the word "grandson" and just drop the "grand," young man. And you'll see you're going to have two more sons. Today, do I understand that that prophetic word kept me alive? Absolutely. Absolutely, that prophetic word kept me going, because it was a word of life to me. It was a word that my wife and I rehearsed. And about 3 years after the boys were returned to us, I brought them, one of them, to meet John Paul. And I told the man of the Lord, "Thank you for the price you paid to give that word to me. It kept me going." You see, God isn't finished using angels. God isn't finished using men of God. God isn't finished preparing you. And yes, you might just get overwhelmed by fear periodically. Welcome to the club. It's called the Zechariah Club. Tell your neighbor it's okay if you join the Zechariah Club. Just don't live there. Because he might shut your mouth. Isn't that what happened? Yeah. Okay. Verse 19. "And the angel replied to him, 'I am Gabriel. I stand in the very presence of God. And I was sent to talk to you and to bring you this good news. And lo, you will be and will continue to be silent and not be able to speak till the day when these things take place, because you have not believed what I told you. But my words are of the kind which will be fulfilled in the appointed and proper time.'" If I would have known that it was going to take 5 years to get my grandsons, I don't know how well I would have done every day. I don't know if I would have been able to take faith every day. But because I didn't know the number, I kept on holding. And I kept on holding. You know, when we obey the Lord, it's not always common sense that tells us to keep on going. It is the Spirit within us, His Holy Spirit within us, to say, "Go ahead and obey." It's been a busy week for me this week. I had another incident that I want to share with you because it was pressing. In 1991, I believe it's 1991, a lady that was very close to my heart, Cape Allegiant, gave me a bottle of wine, a bottle of champagne. It's dated. Okay? And it's been with me ever since, and I've not been able to open it because the miracle that was with it has not been completed. But this week, I picked up the phone and I called her. We had a short conversation because it was close to Christmas, but she sent her love. And we had a nice conversation because I haven't spoken to her for a number of years. She's living in Florida. She's a lovely, lovely lady that loves the Lord. But she forgot about the bottle. I told her, the woman or the man that does what God says doesn't have to remember the details. All they have to do is the work. The one that receives the word. The one that receives the instruction. He's the one that carries the next level. Zechariah got the message. He was quiet for how many months? 9 months he was quiet. Can you imagine? And Kay and I had a short moment on the phone, but it was a good time. Last night, the Lord said to call Daisy in Jamaica. We had a wonderful conversation with Daisy. She sends her love and says, I miss you guys. And I told her, we miss you too. My wife and I went shopping to Sears. We ran into Nana. She sent her love. Do you understand what the God of heaven is doing? He's changing people's hearts for the holiday. I pray he walks you out of fear and back into confidence. And if necessary, into silence. Maybe we can learn a lesson from this high priest. Just maybe we can learn that it's okay to fall. But it's also right and righteous to keep on looking to the one who promised to finish the good work that he's promised for 2007. He's promised to take care and to counsel and comfort. And he will release the spirit of Elijah in, not outside of you, inside of you, with power. You say, well, what are you talking about? I'm telling you, I believe that 2007 is a number of completion. Why am I telling you now? Because I won't be with you next week. But my brother will be. So you keep Brother Bob in prayer. I'll be here with you Tuesday. But I'm letting you know now, get ready for 2007. Get ready for the spirit of Elijah to come alive inside of. Yes. You see, because the one who is preparing the way for the coming of the Lord was John, favored of God. You are favored of God. A group of people ready to operate under the anointing of Elijah. And to give out the words of life.